may we be helped to commence our worship of Almighty God this evening by singing hymn 1077, hymn 1077 to the tune Daniel 459. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only Thou the way can show. Thou can save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. God, if over all Thou art, greater than the sinful heart, let Thy power in me be shown. Take away the heart of stone. Take away my darling sin. Make me willing to be clean. Make me willing to receive what Thy goodness waits to give. Hymn 1077, tune Daniel 459.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word, from the Gospel according to John, part of chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we'll read the first 30 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, he hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil, Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We'll leave the reading there. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and teach us how to pray. O thou most holy and eternal Lord God, now we need thee now, dear Lord, to come down and to make thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be felt. May we be blessed, Lord, with a true spirit of worship. And oh, as we come, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, we do seek, dear Lord, thou would visit each of our souls this night with thy salvation. Do bless that sacred portion we have read in thy holy word. We pray that we may be found, each of us, among those precious sheep that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and assure our conscience of our part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness to my heart that I and born of God. May we never be left, Lord, to be deceived. But if we're deceived in anything, undeceive us. And, O Lord, how we need thee to speak to our souls. As we have read, dear Lord, in thy word, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, may we hear the voice this night of the Good Shepherd, the dear Lord Jesus. And may thy blessed word, Lord, be applied to us with power, and the blessed unction of the Holy Spirit, that we may go on our way encouraged by what thou dost say. Lord, how we need thee to keep us tender and humble, and grant us the mind and the Spirit of Christ. May we be ever at thy dear feet to learn of thee. O Lord, do empty us of ourselves. Do empty us of this wicked and perverse world. Oh, do empty us of all the pride and self-righteousness that may be in us. And may we be filled with thyself. And may we prove more and more, dear Lord, what the dear hymn writer says. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And knowest how poor and helpless we are in and of ourselves. But oh, we would be found not the spouse of old, leaning upon our beloved. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt wash us and cleanse us from all our many, many sins. Those sins, as one said, that immense as the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Oh, we pray for a true, repenting heart to be given to us. A heart to confess our sin, dear Lord. A heart to truly mourn over our sin before Thee. And oh, that we may be ever at Thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy. We would come with the dear hymn writer when he said, "Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me." Oh, may we be favoured, Lord, unworthy as we are, with a sweet taste of Thy mercy, even this night. The mercy that has brought us again. Mercy that's transporting me sweet. And oh, we do pray that Thou wilt fill our souls with Thy love, and that we might love Thee in return. And, O Lord, do go before us each in the untrodden steps of life's journey. Prepare us for Thy will, and, oh, do prepare us for a vast eternity. Do assure us, Lord, that we are Thine, and that Thou art ours. We pray, dear Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy dear people as they gather this evening. Do we remember the dear children, the dear babes, and those connected to us here, each of us, Lord. We pray Thou wilt remember them with the favour Thou bearest to Thy dear people, and that Thou wilt raise them up to be true vessels of mercy, children of the living God, to seek Thee and to serve Thee. Oh, do hear the prayers that are put up for them. For Thou hast promised that instead of the fathers shall come up the children, and Thou shalt see Thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. We pray for Thy blessing, Lord, upon the dear parents, and that Thou would hear and answer their cries, and send down those answers of peace. And Lord, do remember all that are in trouble, many of the troubles of Thy people, Lord, whether it be in their souls or in their pathways. But Lord, Thou hast promised, and we plead it before Thee, I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him. May each of Thy troubled people know Thy sweet delivering hand. And those, Lord, that are weeping and sorrowful, we pray Thou wilt comfort their hearts, and that Thou wilt sweetly assure them that thou art with them in all their sorrows. And may we, Lord, know a little of the blessings in our souls of being led to view a little of the sorrows that it's endured. For there was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We pray earnestly, Lord, that thou wilt look upon those that are tried and tempted. Many, Lord, walk through bitter temptations, bitter trials. We pray thou wilt sanctify these things, and that there may be thy hand appearing, delivering thy tried and tempted people, and may they be brought out into a wealthy place. Remember, Lord, those in affliction's pathway. Many are laid aside, Lord. We pray that thou wilt sanctify these afflictions to each one and make their beds in them. And may they be enabled in it all to be still and to know that thou art God. And oh, do grant that needed healing and restoring them. As one of old said, 'tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. And we pray for those in maybe special need, Lord, have got impossible things, that thou wilt come and strengthen their little faith, their hope, their love, and do assure them, Lord, that thou art with them in it, and that thou wilt bring them out in thy time to crown thee, Lord of all. Oh, do come and remember our dear friend in the desk, Lord, who bless the hymns that he gives out, and may they be made a blessing to his own soul and to us each, Lord, and to each one that gathers. And may we know the realities of those sacred things that we sing. And, oh, may thy name be glorified in it all. We do pray for our dear aged friends that thou wilt be with them. Thou knowest, Lord, the weaknesses they feel, the mud wall cottage shake, the afflictions that abound. We pray that thou wilt favour them in their declining days, and favour us each, Lord. That thou wilt grant those sweet tokens of thy love and the sweet assurances from heaven that it is well with their souls and ours while life endure and well when called to die. And O Lord, may we be prepared for that great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, do assure us that thou art our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Remember all that we would and should pray for. Do bless the church here and be with them, Lord, and may there be that real travail in our own flock at home and among thy people here, that there may be those brought forth and set at liberty and able to tell what great things thou hast done for them. And, O Lord, do remove all the hindrances, that there may be those enabled to say, as the dear hymn writer did, "Hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you." Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon each hill of Zion where thy truth is faithfully preached. and that there may be yet a gracious reviving, many born again, to quicken souls in this town, Lord, and cause them to cry, "Give me Christ or else I die." Oh, may there be an awakening of many sinners round. And we pray that thou wilt appear throughout the earth where'er thy people be, and that there may be yet a blessed turning to the Lord, even in this nation, Lord, a turning away from all evil and sin, and everything that's grieving to thee, and a seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, the power's thine. Work in our king and the royal household, we pray, in our prime minister and those in government and all that rule over us. May they be brought to set a right example in this nation, and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. O Lord, we need thee in so many ways. Remember thy persecuted ones throughout the earth, those in the earthquake disasters. Do speak through these solemn things, Lord, that many may think and tremble before thee, and acknowledge that thou dost reign in all things. And Lord, do appear for those in Ukraine. We beg for thee to command deliverance for them, if it be thy holy will, and overturn all the works of the evil and violent in the earth. We would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies to us in providence and in grace. We would love and praise thee more. And Lord, do grant to us that needed help as we turn to thy holy word. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. And may thy precious name be exalted, Lord, both in our hearts, in our worship, in the preaching of thy word, and in all things. Do hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive. Make up, dear Lord, where we so fail, as we ask these poor breathings, in the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen. The notices for the week are, God willing, Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parish next Lord's Day. And today we take a monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 1032, hymn 1032, to the tune Rhodes, number 53. How shall I give thee up? 'Tis Jesus speaks the word. I am the sinner's only hope. I am thy gracious Lord. My son, give me thy heart. Let me thy sorrows bear, 'tis not thy caution, power, or art can save thee from despair. Hymn 1032, tune Rhodes 53.
How shall I give
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the word we had before us this morning, the book of Numbers, chapter 14, and verse 24. The book of Numbers, chapter 14, and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The book of Numbers, chapter 14, and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Those of you who are here this morning will remember we looked so much at the wonderful spirit that the Lord gave to dear Caleb and to Joshua. And so different it was to the spirit of those other 10 that went up from the other tribes to spy out the land of Canaan, and how the Lord gave him a spirit of real living faith. And I would just remind you what he was enabled to say, which we didn't look at this morning, and it's a wonderful word really. And we read but Joshua and Caleb, they went into the land, and what did dear Caleb say? Let us go up at once and possess it. And in that 13th chapter, in verse 13, Caleb stilled the people. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord comes, or he sends his servant with a word to still the people. And here Caleb was so used, but Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's a very precious word to me, because when we moved to Sussex and we were thinking of where we should live, we'd sold our house in Cambridgeshire, and it was a great exercise and burden what house to buy, and we looked at two particularly that we felt were what we needed. And I was going to go home that night, and then the Lord's great mercy, and it shows how all things are in his hand, the M25 was closed eastwards, and the west side was absolutely gridlocked with traffic, so we couldn't go home. And our son phoned us and said, I should stay in Sussex because it's impossible to get anywhere. And I went to bed and well exercised what the Lord's will was, which house to purchase. And I slept through to the early hours of the morning, and as I woke, this particular house was set before me. And immediately the Lord said what Caleb said here, let us go up at once and possess it. And then those words rang in my ears, let us go up at once and possess it. Well, when the morning came, I got up and I went into the kitchen and to get a drink, and I didn't say a word to my wife. I begged of the Lord that she would come to me and say, I know which house we've got to have. And she came in to me and she said, you know, the house we've got to have is the one in Marshwood Lane. And she said, and I told her exactly what the Lord had said, and we went to the estate agents and agreed on the price and that. And it was a wonderful word, and I often think back to that, you know. And it may be in a thing of providence, the Lord will say to you, let us go up at once and possess it. But there is a spiritual side to it too. How many times do you come up to the house of God here or maybe elsewhere, and you go up looking for a word from the Lord, and when he's pleased to give it, it may be just the text the servant of God announces, or it may be a line of the discourse, and what happens? Faith in you will possess it. And you think of Caleb as he went up into that land, knowing all what the ten had said of the evil report. He said, let us go up at once and possess it. That is faith in gracious exercise. And there have been times, and I could recount them this evening, if it was the Lord's will, when we've gone into the house of God with that in our poor heart, let us go up at once and possess it. Possess what the Lord has to speak to us. Possess his word. May we be in gracious possession, favoured with it in possession in our hearts. But let us go back to this text. We find Caleb blessed with this wonderful spirit of humility, of love, and of faith. And so different than the ten. And the Lord was to honour him. And to, we read later on in the book of Numbers, I think it's chapter 32, where it speaks of the Lord barring those ten and the tribes from the land. Why? Because they did not wholly follow the Lord. But Caleb and Joshua wholly followed the Lord, fully followed him. And here we have it in the text. And I want us help this evening to look a little into this clause. And hath followed me fully. Now I don't know what you may be in, child of God, tonight, but look in your poor heart. Are you, am I, wholly or, as the text says, fully following the dear Redeemer? You think of those dear disciples, the wonderful grace given to them to follow the Lord fully. Now there are a few ways we would look at this following. When Jesus spoke to the dear disciples in their fishing, at their fishing boats, when he spoke to Matthew at the receipt of custom, he said these very words, follow me. Now, oh, that we might each be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. Follow him fully. And this means not just once a day or when we should think we should follow him, but follow him continually. You know, Jesus spoke to the dear disciples, didn't he? Just prior to going up to Calvary, this wonderful word. When he said to them, ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations. They, the 11, were true followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. They followed him fully. They didn't mean to say they weren't poor, needy sinners. They were, and they felt it. And they knew what it was to feel it. But we find concern him, dear Caleb, and hath followed me fully. Now there are various ways we can follow the Lord. We can follow him in the sufferings that he endured. And all you think, and may the Lord give us that faith to view a little of those agonies and sufferings that he endured. There have been a few times, if not awfully deceived, when the Lord has brought me into paths of suffering, not just of affliction of body, but in my soul and in the pathway. And he's brought me into them, and he may be bringing you into them, that you might be led to view a little what he endured. I often think of that couplet of the hymn, "His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine?" And you know, when you feel everything against you, you think of what was against the dear Redeemer in all his agonies. We read this, and that brings us really to dovetail with the occasion that what we looked at this morning, another spirit. You know, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. I often think of that, you know, how soon man may cross us or annoy us in some way, and we begin immediately to rebel, don't we? But we find with the dear Redeemer that when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Look at the submission. And you see, for us to be real followers of the dear Lord Jesus, we must be made willing and submissive. That's a beautiful word. I think I quote it in prayer. What's recorded in Psalm 110. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And you look how willing Caleb was to follow his Lord and Master fully. And the Lord sometimes will bring us into deep afflictions, to bring us right down, to make us willing to follow him fully. The hymn writer said, and the Lord speaking really, "I will by means like these thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by due degrees, and make thy spirit meek." Meek that we might follow the Master fully. And you think of, oh, how the agonies he endured of soul. We cannot begin to comprehend them. It's past all natural reasoning what he endured. The hymn writer said, "No tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell, the agonies of body, of mind, and of soul." And are to be led into those. And what will it do? There will be times where it will melt your poor heart, poor soul, and soften you right down when you see how he endured it all in love. Not in anger, we read, but in his dear covenant love. And because he loves his children, he corrects them, he chastens them, and he makes them willing to follow him fully. But then we think of some in the Word of God that followed the Lord fully. And the Lord used various means to do it. You know, the Lord to Peter on the housetop in Joppa. You know, he couldn't understand that sheet let down from heaven, could he? What it all meant. And how wonderfully the Lord was to reveal it all to him. And particularly, because Cornelius had sent these three men to seek him, and how the Lord was to make Peter willing to go with them. And we read this, don't we? Behold, three men seek thee. And then this beautiful word. And it's a beautiful word to a real follower of Christ. Arise and go with them, doubting nothing. You know, a soul that's really exercised concerning following the Lord in his sacred ordinance, joining himself to the church of God or herself, and arise and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. I could give you, and I will, really an illustration of this. You see, they were to be made, Peter was to be made willing to go with them. It was a Gentile house, but he must go down and minister to them the vital things of God. Follow the Lord fully. When I was asked the last time to go to Canada, because of my heart condition and that, I couldn't get any insurance to go, and it looked an impossibility that we'd ever be able to fly out there. And I was so exercised about it all. And the British Assurers Association told me two companies will insure your condition. Well, I contacted one, and they wanted to insure just my wife and myself for everything except the heart condition. And that would have to be done separately. And they said they would do it for £365. But the heart condition, they would insure, it would cost another £1,600. And I said to my wife, well, all I want to know is the Lord's will in it, not man's. We will have to go to the house of God and see what the Lord has to say. And we went down to Eastbourne Chapel, and the late beloved pastor, Mr. Seth Mercer, was to preach because his son Brian was not well. And he preached from these words, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And he looked at the case of Peter and the Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And then he said, "I want to lead you to the housetop in Joppa, where Peter couldn't understand the vision. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And he said, "You know, there's a message for someone here tonight, and the message is this: arise and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And immediately I felt, well, the three men in Canada seeking me to go. Arise and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And I was so melted by it, and so was my dear wife, and we went home and we said, well, we know we must go, but how the Lord can, only the Lord can make the way. And on the next day I phoned the other insurance company that the British Assurers Association had recommended, and they said, "We have discussed your case, Mr. Field. We have agreed we will insure you and your wife and all the heart condition for £361. You know, I was just melted by it all. You see, the wonders God alone can do. Oh, to follow the Lord fully. Do exactly what the Lord tells you. And it may be he's commanding one here to do some particular thing, you see. You follow him fully. Do exactly what the Lord said." Now, I don't know why I named this evening, but it's been with me much this afternoon. Do exactly what the Lord tells you. The hymn writer said, didn't he, "The way I take cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there." And if you've got the Lord with you, poor soul, he will enable you to follow him fully. But then, of course, there's the sacred ordinance of baptism. I did hint at it this morning, you see, following the Lord fully. Obeying his command. What did Jesus say? "If," and what an if it is, isn't it? "Ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me." You know, if we truly love the Lord, we shall ever long and desire to follow the Lord fully. And he can make you willing, you see, to follow him fully. Oh, he can. I remember when I was exercised concerning the sacred step of baptism, I went to Cranbrook Chapel, and I felt, if I'm writing this, and this is what the Lord has put in my heart, and dear Mr. Mulvey was the minister, and he hardly ever preached on baptism. Occasionally he would name it. But you know, I went in gracious anticipation, if I may reverently put that like that, that he would enter right into what I was in. And he preached from that beautiful word in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3, the baptism of the dear Lord Jesus. And his text was very sacred and blessed to me, because he knew nothing of what I was in, or the exercise of my heart, but the Lord knew. Because on the previous Sunday, the Lord's dear servant came and preached from these words, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, dear Mr. Mulvey took for his text this, and it was so sacred to me. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And, you know, really, and I look back at it today, you know, I look back and he preached me right into the water. I could do none other than venture. Venturing upon the Lord. You know, the Lord will ever honour them that venture upon him. The hymn writer said, didn't he? "Venture on him, venture wholly." And this is what Caleb and Joshua were to do in going into the land. They were to venture on him and venture wholly. And the Lord was to honour them. But then, of course, there's a following of the Lord by keeping him in view. The hymn writer said, and it's a beautiful couplet, isn't it? Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. But you know, there are times where we cannot keep him in view. You see, it may be clouds obscure our view. It may be we're in a low, dark place. How can the child of God follow him fully then? By keeping him in view, they follow him by faith. Venturing, as I said just now, upon him by faith. Following their dear Redeemer. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. If you're going to go somewhere, you don't know where to go, and somebody says, a friend or whoever it may be, says, well, you follow me. Well, you want to keep them in view, don't you? Otherwise you could easily turn the wrong road into the wrong road. But there are bends in the journey. And so we have to venture by faith. And so it is spiritually in the child of heart and pathway of the child of God. But then we find too there's a following of the Lord by walking tenderly before him. Tender followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. You know, it's a good place to be in. Tenderly following the Lord. It's no big words of ready talkers, is it? It's humble walkers. These are they that Jesus loves. And there may be those of you, like with those that went into the land, you know, that looking at the giants that we looked at this morning, and the walled cities, and these strong men in the land, how could we face them? Now, with a man, often there's many hindrances. Well, there is with a godly lady, I know, but particularly with a godly man, because they know if they venture, they've got to speak in public prayer. They know that there are various responsibilities upon them. How can they follow him fully? Well, with Caleb and Joshua going into this land, who was to overcome these giants? They couldn't themselves, but the Lord was to overcome them for them. And that giant of public prayer is often a hindrance to the child of God. You think of the eunuch when he came to that certain water in the desert. In the midst of that desert, he said, as they came to that certain water, see, here is water. It was fact. It was before them. There it was. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And what did the dear servant of God, Philip, say to him? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And oh, how he was unable to say, wasn't he, from the depths of his heart, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith in him believed it, you see. And what a mercy that is when the Lord removes all that hinders. Hinder me not, as I named in prayer, ye much loved friends, for I must go with you. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. And then this wonderful promise, isn't it? Which the Lord promised him, and Joshua. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. Now, many may say, because it's often Canaan is often likened to heaven, a beautiful type really, a land flowing with milk and honey. But you see, how, you may say, how can we say this concerning the promised land of heaven? Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. Well, poor soul, it's been with me much this afternoon thinking upon this word. You know, the Lord favours his dear people with tastes of heaven begun below. And that's a very precious time. The Lord coming down right where the sinner is, removing all the sin that troubles them, removing all the doubts they have, all that fills them with his love. It's a taste of heaven begun below. And he says, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. Now the wicked, the ungodly, those that never know the Lord, know nothing of those sweet foretastes of heaven. They're tastes of it. The day will come with the real child of God where they're entering into the fullness of it. And it's for these that, as we're told concerning Caleb, that hath another spirit with him, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of reverence, the spirit of godliness, the spirit of faith, the spirit of his everlasting love, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. What a promise, isn't it? The sweet promise of eternal joy. So different was the land of Canaan to the wilderness they'd been walking through, wasn't it? Oh yes. Now they were in a land of plenty. And if the Lord brings you into a land of plenty spiritually and fills you with his love, immerses you in it, and favours you with his sweet and sacred presence, it's a taste of heaven begun below. Him will I bring. And this is something, poor soul, you can plead before the Lord. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. You can take it back to the Lord, if I may put it so, and say to him, Lord, thou hast promised me this. And oh, what a sacred promise it is, isn't it? But you see, it goes further. And his seed shall possess it. What a wonderful mercy that is. You know, the Lord, I quote it in prayer, instead of the fathers shall come up the children, and thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The old preachers used to say, real religion always runs in a line. You look at it concerning Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right the way down, it ran in a line. You look at the lineage of Christ, it's a blessed lineage. And there were those wonderful characters in it, but you think of it here, his seed shall possess the land. What a promise this is, isn't it, really? I don't think I've ever felt such a sweetness in it as I have this evening concerning this wonderful promise. Not only for those real followers and those that have the spirit that Caleb had, but two, the blessings the Lord is going to favour them with, bringing them into the land, and then, and his seed shall possess it. His seed. Oh, may the Lord wonderfully fulfill it in each of our families, that there might be, the old preachers used to say, as I indicated just now, real religion always runs in a line, but it doesn't just run in families, but it always runs in a line. And that you look through the Word of God, and that is blessedly true. Well, I'll leave this prayer for this message in our text for your prayerful consideration, because in it is, and I've only scratched around the surface of it these two services today, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of unbelief, not the spirit of rebelliousness and hardness, but the spirit of grace, of humility, and the spirit of Christ, and hath followed me fully. May we ever be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now they're not my words, they're what the Lord has promised. And may the Lord grant to us each the application of it and the sweet assurance of it, for his name's sake. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 1059. Hymn 1059 to the tune East Nor 841. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure and erring light, on thee my feeble soul art stay, which thou canst lead aright. My soul to thee alone I therefore now commend, since Jesus, having loved his own, will love them to the end. Hymn 1059, tune East Nor 841.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own precious word to our souls. And oh, do enable us and give us that grace to follow thee fully, and to have the mind and spirit of Christ. Be with us now as we separate. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.